The gospel this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, picking up with the 36th verse. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too then will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of grace. Well, what a text to break in those new Bibles with today. Nothing like a little apocalyptic to pique the children's interests in the scriptures. That's right, kids. There's some pretty wild stuff there in that book. It's not all boring histories and names, and there's a reason why it's the most banned or challenged book in all of society. And imagine we give you your own copy right here in church. We've come to the beginning of another year in the liturgical calendar. And as on the first Sunday of the Advent in every year, apocalyptic has its place. The mood is intense and the images are frightful. And in fact, if you think what I just read is a bit shocking, hear what comes just before. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear. They used this stuff to try to scare the bejesus out of us at church when I was a kid. And it worked. With the numbers of nukes in the Soviet arsenal, Mad Max in the movie theaters, and Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth and Tim LaHaye's and Jerry Jenkins left behind everywhere on the bookshelves, we were always being warned that we were to expect the rapture at any time, at an hour unknown to be sure, but most likely at 00:00 hours Texas time. on January 1st, Y2K. It worked for a while, but after a while, most of us got a little weary with the waiting. And after a while, it dawned on some of us that those who were so busy writing all the books about the imminent coming of the end of the world and the rapture into heaven were also busy buying up a whole lot of real estate and other worldly goods right here on earth. Luxury cars and third and fourth houses just in case Jesus was, well, a little delayed in the comeback. Listen. I do believe that apocalyptic has its place. And I'm going to try to explain that for a moment. But I want to say at the outset that its place is not to scare us into thinking that the end of the world will soon be upon us. Nor is it to make us think that the literal second coming of Christ is going to happen at any moment now. I don't believe that, and I'm not going to teach it either. For nobody knows the hour, Jesus said. And maybe that is because the hour just isn't really that important. What is important, I think, is this. When it comes to the apocalyptic, we need to know that there indeed, just as Jesus said, will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes and famines in various places. Not only that, there will also be recessions and depressions, uprisings and insurrections, and we are unlikely to ever again live without the threat of nuclear annihilation. We need to know all of this. And we need to know that our world will be threatened and fall apart. Our world will have the bottom fall out. Heaven and earth will pass away also, but we are told by Jesus himself that the words and the promises revealed to us in Christ will remain. So we are not to then live in terror or in dismay of what it is that may be befalling the earth. As Buechner said, here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Be not afraid. So then, how do we live in an apocalyptic age? There is instruction, I think, in Jesus' apocalyptic sermon this morning. In the days of Noah, the people were marrying and giving in marriage, he said. I've always read that as a kind of judgment against the people in Noah's age who went right on with their life not knowing that the flood was soon to come at any moment. But then about 2 years ago, I read Eberhard Bethke's biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who got engaged amid World War II right before he was arrested by the Nazis. His friend Bethke wrote that Bonhoeffer's betrothal was a kind of resistance against false apocalypticism and a reaffirmation of life even in the face of all of the powers of death. He went right on living and affirming life. I read the exact same thing in the Times just this week about a wedding in Ukraine amid the bombs and the blackouts of war. The writer of the piece, the cousin of the bride, put it very, very powerfully. She wrote these words, "I had never been sentimental about weddings. I used to think of them as boring and old-fashioned, something people pretended to enjoy. But amid the uncertainty that now infused our lives, I came to realize that weddings are a promise to the future, a public vow about a shared life. At a time when making plans seems to be a luxury few Ukrainians can afford, someone in my family was willing to take the risk to prove that life could not be reduced to stockpiling candles and pasta." I'm imagining that wedding and Bonhoeffer's betrothal, the absurdity and the hilarity of it, the hope. We have to be a hopeful people and resist the false apocalyptic that would make us think that this world is no longer worth fighting for and daring to love in. I'm a big fan of the author Cormac McCarthy. Some of his books have been banned too, which is probably why I like them. Anything with a lot of guns and guts and gore, where the good guys don't always win and nobody's really good anyways, nobody but God. It's all very West Texan. In McCarthy's post-apocalyptic novel, The Road, there is a conversation between two strangers who have survived some unknown apocalyptic event and meet on the road. The first man begins, "I knew this was coming. This or something like it. I always believed in it." "Did you try to get ready for it?" "No. What would you do?" "Even if you knew what to do, you wouldn't know what to do. You wouldn't know if you wanted to do it or not. Suppose you were the last one left. Suppose you did that to yourself." We are living in an apocalyptic age yet again. The Russians are at it once more, and there is talk now on the radio of the use of nuclear weapons, which I haven't heard in decades. And that means that over the coming months and perhaps years, it is going to be that apocalyptic will have a very prominent place in our public discussions. So when you are hearing all of this, I want you to remember something very, very important. I want you to remember that the point of apocalyptic is not to tell us that we are to hunker down, build fallout shelters, and stockpile years of survivalist rations. And neither is it to convince us that the second coming is imminent and we're all soon to be raptured to God knows where while the earth is burned up to a crisp. Surely we have greater hopes for the world than that. And surely we have greater responsibility for it as well. That is not the point of apocalyptic. Rather, the point of apocalyptic is to tell us this, that indeed our world will threaten to fall apart. The wheels will come off. Bad men will be elected again. There will be wars and rumors of wars and diagnoses that don't give us more than a year, and somebody we love dearly will die. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. But that is just when. That is just when Christ will come again. Right when we need. When it's like the sky is falling in and our whole world is about to end. That is when Christ will come again to us. When heaven and earth as we've known them pass away, that is when, as Jesus said, his words of promise will remain, and we will find the firm foundation of our faith. And we will see that indeed the bottom holds. I got a text from a preacher friend earlier this week. I go into an MRI at 10:15 for prostate issues, suspicion of cancer. Apocalyptic is sometimes personal and always cosmic. Indeed, it's sometimes personal and always cosmic. But through it all, the words of Christ remain. And lo, he is with us, even unto the very end of the age. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then say, Amen.